If the mind means the collection of mental attributes that I have, it's not my personality, it's not my memories, because my personality and my memories may change. But it, this simple substance, doesn't change. It's what has that personality, it's what has those memories. I might even have a rather drastic change of personality, but according to this view, I'm still the same self. So it's a transcendent entity, sometimes called the transcendental ego. It's a transcendent entity in the sense that it's something over and above the ordinary items of empirical acquaintance, the ordinary things like my body and brain, and the ordinary sensations, traits of character, memories, experiences, and so on, that I have. It's something of an entirely different order, a different kind of thing altogether. It is perhaps most closely approximated to in our ordinary thinking by the idea of the soul. When people think of the soul, they think of this rather difficult, mysterious substance. It's something simple. It comes and goes. It can go on forever. It's not to be identified with the personality or the memories. It's some special kind of thing. Very hard to say anything positive about it. All I keep on having to say, it's a special, simple substance unlike everything else. It's hard to form any very positive conception of what this thing is, this thing which is the bearer of all of your different characteristics. OK, so what should we say about that view? Well, the thing about the view is it's very extravagant, it's very hard to believe, and it's very difficult even to articulate exactly what the view is. What is this ego, this simple ego, that somehow hovers around the body and brain and is loosely related even to the mind? What can we even say about it? Is it something we can say nothing about? Is it an indescribable, ineffable something about which we can make no comment? All we can say about it is, it's the thing, whatever it is, which has a mind, which has a body, which has mental characteristics, which has physical characteristics. But there's nothing further we can say. We can say it's indivisible, but that doesn't tell us very much. If we ask the question, what's it made of, though? Well, no answer can be given. It seems like a very elusive and peculiar item, this idea of the transcendental ego, the thing which is over and above everything else, which has everything but isn't any of those things. We don't really know what to make of it. So presumably we would prefer to have a conception of the self a bit less extravagant than that, something a bit more down to earth than that, something we could put your finger on, something you could see, something you could at least experience, not something which seemed to elude all experience and indeed elude all description, except the most abstract, schematic kind of description. So that's the first view. As you can see, it's a little bit like it goes along a little bit with Descartes' dualism. You can see spiritually it's rather akin to Descartes' idea of the mind. It's a sort of crystallized centre of the mind as it's conceived in the dualistic perspective. Second theory is much more down to earth, and you can see this is the view which goes along naturally with materialism. Just as the first view goes along with dualism, this one goes along with materialism. It's the idea that the self is to be identified simply with the body or the brain. Now let's start with the body. Here's why we might think this is a reasonable view. How do I recognize you as the same person when I see you again? Well, you come into the room and I see your body, and I can see it's the same body that I saw last week. So I think, that's so-and-so again. Because I judge the identity of you as a person by reference to the identity of your body. So when I see the same body, I infer from that, or I deduce from that, that I'm dealing with the same person. So you might think the identity of the person is the same thing as the identity of the body. The person is simply identical to the body. Now, if we think of it that way, of course, then when I refer to myself as I, when I say I am in pain, I'm referring to my body. So I am, it turns out, a complex physical substance. The exact opposite, of course, of the simple ego view, where I'm a simple mental substance. I'm a complex physical substance, a substance with parts, with attributes. I'm not anything simple without parts. I have a certain kind of material constitution, and certain things make me up. So various things are part of me as a subject. Well, it's a view that's nicely naturalistic and down to earth. It goes along with the scientific materialistic viewpoint. So we can, for that reason, we might think, well, isn't this if we don't want to go into the mysteries and peculiarities of the Cartesian transcendental ego, it might be nicer to go for the solidities of the idea that the person is simply identical to the body. But this view, despite, again, its attractions, its metaphysical appeal, runs into objections. And the objections are relatively straightforward, nothing very abstract about them.